If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product, fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Bag huge savings on your painting projects at Menards. From your kitchen and bath to doors and trim, and even your ceilings, Dutch Boy has the perfect choice for your painting projects. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is a tough paint and primer that provides great scrub resistance and durability. DuraFighter interior paint starts at $27.75 a gallon. Get an additional 15% savings on all Dutch Boy paints when you put it in the bag. See store for complete details.
Save big money at Menards.
Hey, Sudo.
Come on back in. Another episode of Game Runs Deep. Talking champions. That's Ben Garrett. I'm Sudo Upadhyaya. We always have this like smooth, like, hey, all right, I'm going to play the music and I'm going to point to you and you're going to bring us in moment. And I always mess it up. And I got to get better at getting cues and not just, you know, running ball the way I see fit. You know what I mean?
It's okay. I could do a better job of trying.
But your frustration slightly came out. Not even a frustration where you just said, "What's up, Sudo?" just now, and it made me feel like, "Damn, bro, you just messed up. You just messed up." Benny G told you what to do, and you literally just stared at the screen and froze. Your leg.
Not even remotely, man. I'm happy to see you. It's been a wild couple of days in the NCAA transfer portal for Ole Miss. I know a lot of Ole Miss fans got questions. Already seeing some of that in the chat, but how you doing on this, what's today, Tuesday? I've lost track of days, man. Like,
dude,
once 16th gets through here, man, maybe I can, you know, calm down a little bit.
It didn't help that the playoff game was on a Thursday, which had my brain thinking it was a Saturday, obviously, which just, you know, that 9-hour live stream, and then the very next day I had this big project I was starting. So everything's running into, you know, one another for me, but no, doing great, man. Doing great. I guess I haven't seen our fans, our viewers, our listeners since that night in Arizona, and I'm hoping everybody's doing well. And you know,
how you recovering from 9 hours of or 7 hours for you, I think, in total of sitting in the chair. How was it, man?
Light work, man. Light work. It's always helpful when you got folks like Mary and Will and who else is in here that was here that night. I recognize some of these names. Tony was there. East Feliciano Reb was in here. When you have loyal viewers like that, Ben, it makes it very easy. So, no, that was a lot of fun, man. I had a great time, and despite the result of the game, it was a fun night, especially getting all those former Ole Miss guys on, too, to chat. That was a lot of fun.
Well, it was cool, man, because, it was fun to be in the press box there in Scottsdale, and I just sent Sudo a bunch of numbers, and he just straight up just reached out to as many people, and by golly, most all of them responded. And
So
I was like following along there because the internet was kind of an impossible thing. But I was following along, and you'd see CJ Johnson and Kentrell Lockett together. Then you see Sudo talking to Davern Gerald, Shea Hodge, and Gray Kessinger. then Thomas Dillard would show up. It was really cool, man. And I'm so thankful to all those Ole Miss Rebels who contributed to the live stream and allowed us to do that. And I wish we were preparing to do another one for the national championship game on Monday, Sue.
I agree with you, but boy, after watching Indiana play Oregon, look, I'm not saying that.
I'm not saying that,
you know, it wouldn't have been nice to have Ole Miss in the Natty. But what I am saying is maybe there's something to like a valiant loss, you know, the way it happened. Controversial ending where the entire country wanted a PI call on Ole Miss. Maybe there's something better to that than playing in the Natty and getting absolutely boat raced by Kurt Cignetti, Kurt Cignetti, to me, dude, I'm convinced this man was supposed to be a spy or something. Like, this man was supposed to be the head of the CIA and somehow became a college football coach. I don't know if you've seen the rumors. There's all these rumors going around Twitter that Cignetti has found a way to hack into this these playbook systems for all these teams, and that's how they're... Man, when you're so good that people have to start coming up with theories like that, like Indiana football is hacking into playbooks, supposedly.
Yeah.
You just got to give it to the man. And that's what we've been talking about the last few weeks about Indiana and how good they are. And I told you that I'd be shocked if they lost to Oregon. And
you boy, called that. Did you expect it to be like that though?
I didn't think it would be 52 to whatever it was, but I thought they would win pretty convincingly. I don't know what it is about Dante Moore. I just don't see it. Maybe it's the same way others do with him. Maybe it's the surrounding cast, or I don't know what it is, but I am not I'm not the biggest Dante Moore believer. I think he's a talented quarterback. I don't know. Didn't have a lot of faith in Oregon's offense. And I just have watched Indiana play. That's like the one Big Ten team I've actually watched this season. So I just knew. I'm like, they play sound football, they're disciplined. Everything I said, that's exactly what happened. And
it doesn't hurt that they have, like, you know, an older roster than most NFL rosters.
Right. No, that's such a big deal. And obviously, that I think that's the biggest thing Cignetti's proving is everyone's like, what's the secret? Like, how is he doing it? These kids are unrated. They were 2 stars. They were 3 star, whatever. And they have experience, which is what you see in college basketball oftentimes, right? Like, you know, a lot of those one and done teams don't make huge runs. But you do see a guy like Sean Padula transfer to Ole Miss and lead a team to a Sweet 16. Or you see a guy like Marshall Henderson, you know what I mean? Like, just using a couple Ole Miss examples. Older players seem to pay off, like at least in the tournament. And now in college football, we're kind of seeing that with these new systems.
Sure.
In college football as well. But anyways, yeah, I don't think Kurt Cignetti is a spy, but if it came out one day that he was secret, like he's a CIA operative that just like left the job to become a coach, I would believe you, man.
Yeah. No, I'm the same way. And like, he really has taken over the mantle, in my opinion, of that dude, the coach in college football. What he's doing at Indiana is remarkable. I think the strategy is sound. I mean, you get a bunch of guys and say, hey, what's the point in going to the NFL to wash out in a year or two, especially if you're more of an undrafted free agent than anything else? Come here, make good money, win a national championship, beating up on 18 and 19-year-olds. So it's a heck of, I mean, like for the new portal, like it makes a ton of sense. If anything, it's a model that most everybody should try to replicate.
That's what Ole Miss is trying to do with Trinidad right now. I mean, you want a 24-year-old quarterback back there, you know, with all that experience.
Exactly right. And that's what Ole Miss is going through right now. This week, actually, you know, that not only are they appealing because the NCAA is meeting, I'm going to figure out the exact same thing. They're appealing, but also, they're taking other steps too with Tom Mars and William Liston filing suit this week, potentially in state Mississippi court on behalf of Trinidad Chambliss. But this week, the appeal that Ole Miss is filing and trying to overturn that denied waiver for Trinidad Chambliss, it'll go before the Division I Academic Eligibility Committee, which has in-person meetings scheduled for this week at the NCAA convention. And then ESPN reports that lawyers for Chambliss, and those lawyers are Tom Mars and William Liston. William Liston was a founder of the Grove Collective, which is Ole Miss's NIL organization.
You met him recently, right?
I did. I met him at Lucy's in New Orleans. It was a delight, man. And they hollered out to me and said, hey, man, you know, and I didn't know them, and I do now. And they're very good people. And I was very, I knew who he was when he said his name. And I went, oh, I've been trying to talk to you for a while, William. Good to see you. You know what I mean? Like, you're the man.
I wish you just knew. Like, all you had to do was call Lane Kiffin a hoe, and everyone was just going to, you know, all these people you were trying to get a hold of for years would just come find you. You know,
sure.
That was the secret this whole time, apparently. All those years of hard sourcing and good journalism and reporting and showing up day in and day out and getting chewed out by former Ole Miss head coaches. I'm not going to name names. All that, bro, just apparently that wasn't good enough. But damn it, you quote Ludacris one day and
hey, whatever works. Whatever works. It's been great. And I'm thankful to all of you who
it's a blessing
came
for
and
sure.
found me in Phoenix, that talked to me in New Orleans with my wife and kids. And they're still talking about that, man. Like Gracie and Ryan, they're still running around talking about how they stopped counting in the 500s of people that came up to me going, hey, you're that guy. The funniest thing is, like, it was the same kind of process every time.
Yeah.
Somebody would look at me and be like this right here. They'd be like, wait, you're that guy that did the thing. And that's what it would lead to. But, man, it's gotten to know so many more.
That's got to be cool as hell, though, right, to have that with your kids. Like, yeah. in general. I mean, you're used to people recognizing you, whatever, but like when it's your kids, they get to see that. That's got to be pretty cool, bro.
Yeah, it was great because they just don't have any clue what I do. I mean, my 13-year-old Gracie right there, y'all can see her in the background. Gracie thinks I'm at this age, she thinks I'm dumber than a bag of dicks. Like I am the most uncool, not, you know, person that anyone cares about. You know, she wants me to just be quiet and give her money. But you know, it was cool for her to be able to show her a little bit of the world in which I live and, this Ole Miss community that's so special, man. It was really, really neat. And now, it's about 2026 and building out the roster for Ole Miss for 2026. But before we jump to that, and for all of that, all day, every day, it's at the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, 513. That QR code above Sudu's head, scan it, join it. New members get 50% off an annual subscription to the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, and a foot of 513. We talk about this stuff all day, every day. You don't just have to hang out with us for an hour on a podcast to hear this stuff. You can read about it. We're talking about it. I'm serious, all day, every day, because that's what we do. But before we do that, the national championship game, I don't know if we're going to talk again between now and then. I hope so.
Probably. You know, we'll do an episode probably Monday before the next.
What are we feeling right now about about Indiana and those Hurricanes from Miami that bullied Ole Miss in the Fiesta Bowl?
Yeah, I 100% think that Indiana's going to win. I don't know if it'll be as dominant as it was against Oregon. The Ole Miss folks in here, you saw Miami play. I mean, they obviously have a really strong front and their run game's really strong as well. I think that's really going to be the key is going to be Miami just running the football. Carson did what he did against Ole Miss. He found some holes in the defense, took advantage of what he saw. But he didn't play perfect. And I think against Indiana's defense, it's going to be about just using Mark Fletcher and pushing those bodies around like as they have done all year. Good God. But yeah, I think Indiana wins pretty easily. I'd say at least by 10
pretty
or more points.
Pretty easily.
10 or more points. Also, I think Miami got pretty banged up coming out of that Ole Miss game. They weren't, by the end of that game, I mean, I want to say Mesidor was hurt. Jacoby Thomas was banged up, one of their top DBs. So I 100% think that, yeah, this just feels like Indiana's going to do what they've done all season long. This is kind of the culmination of this entire year for them. Mm-hmm. They're going to go out on top. Fernando Mendoza going back home, getting sure. to beat his childhood team. I mean, he said he grew up like within like a mile or something of campus, maybe less than that of the Miami campus. So that's going to be very interesting. But I have yet to see anything from Indiana that makes me feel like, oh, they can't hang. Someone made a point that, well, Indiana, when they face teams with really talented rosters, they've struggled, and they cited Penn State. But then I go, well, they've also played Oregon and Ohio State. So that logic to me is a little flawed because I'm like, if we're going to go off of that, then shouldn't they have struggled against Oregon twice and then against Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game? Like if that's the difference. I think IU wins pretty easily, man. And their fans travel, bro. Like, for the Peach Bowl here in Atlanta, I didn't go to the game, but I was out that night, and almost every bar I went to or any establishment I went to, man, after the game was all just Indiana people. Like, they had taken
really?
Over Atlanta. It was very That's interesting. Awesome, I don't know anything about IU, like, as far as, like, their fans and how they travel or whatever. I also heard, like, Mercedes-Benz Stadium sold out of beer in the first half. I didn't confirm that for sure. I'd have to go check to make sure that's real. But
you got to know better when Ole Miss is coming in, man. Come on now.
No, Ole Miss obviously notorious for that, but makes sense, right? Folks in the Midwest, they love some beer now. That can
beer
make
drinkers.
Sense, but
beer drinkers.
Yeah, Tony said Indiana's a little weak against a run. That could help. I agree. I think this is going to be Miami running the football a lot, but Indiana's also going to run the football because Fernando Mendoza, like, as much as I love him, he's not Trinidad. He's not going to be like running away from the defense at every point. So Hemby, I think Hemby's the key for them as well. I'm sure Mendoza gets his moments. Ooh, I'm on Sufi stream.
Hey, Sufi. Sufi. You. It's you.
That's how it auto-corrects my name. It's happened before.
Well, there's a lot going on for Ole Miss in the portal and a lot of questions already in the chat. So I'm going to allow you to kind of go through those questions and put them up on the board because I'm going to try to, like, knock this out as best I can. Yesterday was pretty chaotic.
Yeah.
Ole Miss, the Devin Harper stuff, let's start there. Yeah, Devin Harper, best on from everything I can tell, is that he re-signed with Ole Miss. That's like they don't just put out a graphic if there's not real, you know, weight behind it. So, like, I think what Ole Miss is going to try to do is hold Devin Harper to that contract. Now, here's the thing. It's just like Washington did with Demon Williams. I could see Ole Miss doing something similar with Devin Harper. But this is really agent games right now. You know, LSU's been in a desperate position, especially for offensive linemen. They've been trying to pay for Devin to get into the portal for a while. And finally, we're able to get him to go into the portal. But again, there's some complications there because you've re-signed with Ole Miss. You have a contract. Same thing with Chris Jones at Southern Miss. Now, Chris Jones, someone asked about that. Let me keep on Devin Harper for a second. Do I think there's a real chance Devin Harper, gets held to the contract and sticks at Ole Miss? Yes. If at the very least, LSU is going to have to pay a pretty penny. That's just part of it. Because you can't set that precedent. You can't just allow them to agree to new contracts and then, you know, step out and you know, continue to take money to the highest bidder. But that's exactly what Devin Harper's trying to do. So getting Delano Townsend re-signed was independent to me of Devin Harper. That's one that they've been working on to get that done. I reported on the Ole Miss Spirit last night that there was real momentum for that. It's now happened. Delano Townsend is back. So I think a little bit of the worry from yesterday has subsided in a way. Devin Harper would be a loss, but it's not done there. But it's agent games. If you want to know the short answer to it,
yeah,
Devin Harper, it's agent games. And these kind of cases are going to become more and more common because everybody's going to test rules in that way.
Yeah.
I was about to say
it's the Wild West either way, right? But why is Ole Miss so down's not the right word, but why isn't there more confidence about bringing Harper in if he has put pen to paper? Do you know of any clauses or anything specific that would let him walk, or why can't Ole Miss? I think that's the big question
now. And that's the question
on the message boards.
Yeah, are you going?
Why can't we hold him like Demond? Like, why can't you say don't leave?
They can. At least they believe they can, and I think that's part of the negotiation process. It's a long way to go with Devin Harper. And also, you got to decide, too, it's not just about precedent setting either. Like, Ole Miss has always been good about doing right by the player. You know what I mean? So, but they're not going to get screwed over in the process either. So, look, if the kid is desperate to go to LSU and he wants to, and LSU wants to pay money back, and like, there's part of a payback of rev share, too, potentially on the side of Devin Harper from the agreement in place. So, it's a complicated thing. And I don't know which way it's going to go, but Devin Harper getting to the portal wasn't a surprise because LSU has been desperately trying to get him to get into the portal for ever since the portal opened on January 2. So to get that done, for them, that was a move unto itself. But now Ole Miss, it has agency here and it has levers it can pull in order to protect itself. We'll just see which direction it hopes to go. I think getting Delano Townsend re-secured is a big deal. And not only that, turn around today and get another commitment from an offensive lineman, an interior offensive lineman that can step in and play any number of roles for you in Troy Everett from Oklahoma.
He feels like a depth piece. Is that kind of what?
Sure. Like he could be a backup center for you. You didn't really have a backup center last year. You know, Bryson dominated snaps. Good on him. I mean, they needed Bryson to take over the job.
Right.
But you know, Patrick Kudus was their backup. So at the very least, he's a great backup center for you, but he can also play guard. Carius Kern might have a positional versatility as a guard, but also maybe as a right tackle. They're still very high on Connor Howells too. It wasn't just Devin Harper as a true freshman that they really liked and developed. They hope to hold on to Devin Harper, but Connor Howells is a big part of that too. And Tyler Miller is coming in this weekend. Oh, so is Q McBroom. And I think he's an interior offensive lineman, but he could maybe have some positional versatility too. It's about finding the right five. I think Tyler Miller is going to end up at Ole Miss. Now, Mississippi State believes that it's going to get him and is pretty confident as well. But Ole Miss desperately wanted Tyler Miller out of high school. He went to LSU from Laurel. And
he's coming in this week, right, when the dead period ends? Weekend.
He's coming in after the dead period for the last visit weekend. So is Q McBroom. So they're not necessarily done. And I also think that Gil from Syracuse, the wide receiver, that one's about to finally pop. I think that
love him, man. It seems cool. Like there's some steam gaining this morning as far as his decision, right?
Well, there's some interesting things I've heard, you know, like some names of guys that haven't gotten to the portal that if they did, man, you know, Ole Miss would be a leading candidate for them. But until they get in, you really can't put much stock at all into it. So to answer, you know, folks like Jeremy Edwards here, do you think Ole Miss gets Gil? I mean, I'm pretty sure he'd privately committed almost a week ago. So I think now it's about securing it and getting it done and getting across the finish line. And yes, I think Ole Miss will end up getting him. And now the question becomes, you know, what that means for the rest of guys like Caden Lee. Man, they've been working on Caden Lee for a while. Caden's been getting pre-portal, you know, tampered with, whatever, by Georgia and others for a while too. This year wasn't necessarily the year Caden thought he was going to have. And so for him, I think Ole Miss is working hard and wants to get him re-signed, but it's not a sure thing. If that's the case, if you don't get Caden Lee re-signed, I think, and he ends up going somewhere else for his final year of eligibility, but I think that Ole Miss would add another one. But Trinidad Chambliss is actively recruiting for Ole Miss now. Like, he's trying to help with the Caden Lee retention. He's, you know, been a big part of getting Delano Townsend back in the fold, stuff like that. So that to me is even more important because it says that Ole Miss is operating in a place that it thinks Trinidad Chambliss is going to be his quarterback next year, even with Deuce Knight in the fold and with all this stuff this week, the appeal in front of the NCAA committee stuff there and where they're all meeting, like they're going to have that appeal this week and all that. I mean, I think Trinidad, you're starting to see like the defensive piece, the heavy lifting was done pretty early in the portal.
Now
it's about, they're never going to close the door on defensive additions. They want more, but I think offense, you're starting to see things kind of fall into place. And a lot of that has to do also with Trinidad's waiver. And I think they're taking steps now to show that they're pretty confident in it.
What I love about Trinidad's waivers situation is it seems pretty cut and dry as far as we file the lawsuit in Mississippi. They give him an injunction play throughout by the end of the season. And then they, you know, get to the lawsuit at the end of the year, which it won't matter anyways. He'll be on his way to the league. But what I love about it is I think because of Jeff Landry's involvement, you've seen Tate Reeves take interest in Ole Miss now. See a lot more tweets. And so I think there is an optimism, I think, in the fan base of like, there's no way in hell that in the state of Mississippi, they're not going to give Trinidad an injunction or some kind of relief from this NCAA situation.
All you need is the injunction. Now you get the injunction, right? Like at that point, it could
drag.
You're
set, right? It's just kind of like punting it down the road, right?
Yeah. And like the NCAA is not going to fight it. I really didn't think, like, and that's the one thing, you know, at the Ole Miss Spirit, that QR code above my head. If you go there, I've been talking about this. Scan it, join it. New members get 50% off an annual sub. By the way, Mike Tomlin's stepping down after 19.
Yeah. Seasons. How crazy is that?
That's pretty wild, man. But also, dude, like, it becomes so stale for them. It becomes so stale. Like, they lost 7 straight playoff games by double-digit points.
Yeah.
Like, at some point, everybody, you know. But still, that's a big, big move on a lazy Tuesday. You know what I mean?
Like, that's
significant.
Hey, another big name in the field now. It's not just Harbaugh.
You think Lane Kiffin should be an option for the Pittsburgh Steelers? Like, does LSU get to deal with that now? It's like every time an opening comes up, you know what would be a great match for the Steelers? And you know who would be a great match for the Steelers? Like Jim Harbaugh.
Harbaugh'd be great.
He'd be insane there.
He'd be good. No, I
don't want him to go to the Giants, if you can't tell.
John is a obviously big candidate for the Giants, and that's kind of, you know, the name that keeps coming up. But I would not be opposed to Tomlin. If John Harbaugh somehow decided he wants to go to the Falcons, I wouldn't be opposed to Tomlin and pairing him with like a Mike McDaniel at OC. I think your Cowboys might be in some trouble if that happens.
Look, my Cowboys are always in trouble as long as the
glad you said it.
From Tales of the Crypt. My man Jerry Jones, as long as he's controlling things, yeah, they're always going to be in trouble. You know what I mean? But this is not.
I hope he lives forever, personally.
Yeah, I don't want to see anybody die. Dying sucks, but like, you know, I really wish he would just go hire a general manager to try to win a title before, you know, he's 80 something years old, right? Like, dude, it hadn't worked since the 90s.
I hope he like Futuramas himself with put his head in the little.
That is hilarious. You know what I mean? That is hilarious. My God, Josh, what about Harbaugh to Miami? Man, I don't see why anybody would ever want to try to take on Miami.
Who, John Harbaugh to Miami?
No, John. I always get confused.
Jim's the younger Chargers.
Michigan. Yeah. John is, yeah.
Yeah.
I think John Harbaugh will be good. Whatever program he takes over, like it'll be, organization takes over, it'll be a good organization. Like it'll be a good team. Now,
I'm with that.
Yeah.
I'm with that.
I can see John in Miami. My guy, Josh. My guy, Josh Clemens, my dude.
No, nah, he's gonna. It's gonna be the Giants, bro.
But Troy Everett was the Oklahoma offensive lineman committed to Ole Miss today. JT Lindsey, who, if you've been paying attention at all, here on Talking Champions
for a while.
JT Lindsey, I told you yesterday he'd commit. Cameron Miller, Kentucky wide receiver, told you yesterday he'd commit. Those are the three newest ones. Someone had a very serious question.
Chris Jones, was it a Chris Jones question?
Yes, it was a Chris Jones question. Chris Jones, the Southern Miss linebacker, also talked about him yesterday with Brad Logan here in the podcast. Chris Jones, I'm pretty sure he signed a deal with Ole Miss too. But and Ole Miss might have to hold him to that. Again, there's a lot of considerations here. You know, you're trying to do right by the player, but you also got to protect yourself. Chris Jones, Ole Miss had him evaluated at, I think, a little over $200K. And no one put a gun to your head saying to sign it. You know what I mean? Same thing with Devin Harper and his representation. Agent can get all mad all you want, but, like, dude, that's a you problem. That's an agent problem. Ole Miss fairly and equitably negotiated with you, and you put pen to paper, and then what happened? Now you're trying to play games. And maybe it works out for the benefit of Devin Harper because maybe he just wants to go to LSU. If that's the case, then so be it. But if that does happen, you're going to have to pay some money, LSU and potentially Devin Harper, for the rev share piece. Chris Jones was Ole Miss had him evaluated a little over $200K signed into that. And a few other schools have come in and really just – because that's what it is. I mean, you got kids walking around locker rooms all over the country talking to coaches from other schools. It's brazen. It's blatant. There's no hiding it. They're trying to push every rule. And so Chris Jones, I think at least one school I know offered him $600K. Well, then if you're Ole Miss, you got to decide, first of all, do you let him out of the contract? Second of all, do you try to negotiate in good faith to kind of meet that, right? $600K, do you have him evaluated at that high? I mean –
I was going to ask you. I didn't know price when Ole Miss matters, brought him man. In. If Chris Jones was also a depth piece guy, or if he was a hey, we're expecting him to start year, you know, first year here, or next year, or whatever you want to say. I couldn't really figure out what his role was going to be next year.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's going to come in and push the start. I mean, you still don't know anything on TJ Dottery, and I've been hearing for a while, that TJ was going to re-up with Ole Miss. It was just a matter of time. Now he's going to consider his NFL options as well. But the fact that he hasn't still, same with Caden Lee, is notable. So Keaton Thomas from Baylor, the Baylor linebacker, I mean, he was recruited to come in here and step in and start. You know, like he's going to come in here, slide, like he's like a Chris Poupall. I don't know if Chris Jones is like that. I think he is. How many more linebackers does Pete sign? I think at least one more, especially if you don't hold Chris Jones to his – to his contract. Do you think Ole Miss is in the market for another back? I think if it were the right one, if A.K. Deer were to get into the portal, Ole Miss would be all over that. All over that. JT Lindsey, though, kind of checks that box because let's be honest here, Kewon Lacy ain't giving up many snaps next year. He's not. And they want to see run for Shekhi Mills Knight. They want to give JT Lindsey a real opportunity. But yeah, they'll add at least one more, I think. Message board said we were working on a flip of an Alabama portal commit. Any info on that? Not enough. I don't have it strong enough that I feel like I could talk about it in a way that would be just anything more than speculation. So I'm going to avoid that one. But yes, as far as TJ Dottery, you're trying to get him back. I think he's going to come back. But again, the fact that it's taken this long sticks out to me, is notable to me. I think Caden Lee to me is a complete coin flip. Ole Miss has been working on him for a while. Trinidad Chambliss is now on the case as well. But he has schools like Georgia coming after him hard. And this year wasn't exactly what he thought it would be. The Syracuse wide receiver, Gill, I think that's going to happen. Now you're starting to see everybody kind of come forward, be it Pete Nakos or whoever you follow in the national level or on the local level, come out and say, yeah, this is turning that way. There's a reason for that. He's been privately committed, at least my understanding of it, for days, if not almost a week. So, but you got to consider any and all possibilities, right? So,
yeah. But if you are Caden or you're any receiver, Winnie included, which I do want to get to this from Winnie. I don't know if you saw his interview with your buddy over there, LSU Matt Muscana. But but Winnie, you look at Caden potentially wanting to leave, and I'm like, hey, the receiver room is finally opening up. Like you're losing really talented receivers in Trey Wallace and Deshaun Stribling. It's opening up. You're going to have opportunities. Like, why would you want to leave? Winnie is a very confusing one. Now, granted, Winnie came to Ole Miss.
Winnie was always going. Man, that kid been recruiting kids to LSU since Lane left.
Right. No, he's been a problem. No doubt about it.
And so, that was such a clown show. I mean, just couldn't even regurgitate the talking points well. You know what I mean? Like,
no doubt.
Winnie Watkins, I hope he has a great career at LSU, except when he plays at Ole Miss. However, I don't think anybody's mourning the loss of Winnie Watkins today based off of how he behaved, quite frankly. And the way
a problem.
He was a problem. And that was a very poorly kept secret that Winnie was ultimately going to follow Lane to LSU. Right. It was a pathetically kept secret.
I mean, that was the first name I remember when Lane left was like, Winnie for sure is gone, what everyone told me. And then it was like, Kiwan is probably leaving with Kevin. But there was still hope. But Winnie was like a circle it, send him, like he's gone send situation. Him.
He was done.
And
that's the thing with him, man. It's I think it's a credit to Pete Golding. Doesn't get talked about enough. And not just Pete, but like these staffers that stayed and the guys that are now, like John David Baker's your offensive coordinator who really worked on retention efforts. Like, it was impressive to see the retained guys to this point, but also the ones that LSU desperately wanted. Now, they could still get Devin Harper. He was one of them. But it was Devin Harper, Winnie Watkins, Kiwan Lacy, Caleb Cunningham, Deuce Alexander. Like, the sights were set on a number of guys. And so far, the only departure you've gotten as far as following Lane is Winnie, which, again, everybody and their mother thought was coming.
That's his guy. Yeah.
That's his dude. Yeah. And that's fine. I think Winnie, the no one's begrudging Winnie of doing what, follow your guy. That's fine. It's the recruiting players to LSU with you over the course of a playoff race. That's not going to really, you're not necessarily going to be welcomed back with open arms. You know what I mean? Like, just don't be shitty on the way out. Just like with Lane, on a much lesser scale, but it was the same thing. You handled yourself poorly. Then don't go, well, love me as I shit all over you. Yeah. You know, love me as I treat
he's
you.
Also, he also turns out Buddy might be like a level 10 gooner or something, bro. Have you seen these TikTok lives this man was doing?
I have. They're unavoidable. Get it, young buck. I ain't gonna knock a man. You know, do your thing.
Look, I don't kink shame, Winnie. I don't kink shame, bro. If you're a freak, you're a freak, bro. That just is what it is.
David Gibson here. Chris Jones apparently offered 3 times what we were paying. I reported that on the Ole Miss Spirit last night. I mean, Ole Miss had him evaluate. Not what Ole Miss is offering, what Ole Miss evaluates him at. Like 200, I think it's like 200 and something K. And another school's like, well, we'll give you 600K. You know what I mean? And from an individual standpoint, you're like, well, yeah, I'd prefer 600 to 200, but also you signed a contract. Does Cunningham take the Stripling role, big physical wide receiver? He's got to take some role next year.
He better learn how to catch a football.
Oh, I think Caleb Cunningham's going to be a superstar. I think he got here.
And that's not a direct knock on him. I'm just saying we need some reliability is my point.
I can see that.
With especially the younger guys, like, that step up. It's like,
we need to get a difference maker edge. But come on, I thought that like Prince Will was that, and Santarin getting him back was that.
Is there any shot we can pony up a few million for Damon Wilson?
Everybody wants Damon Wilson, man. But it's just like I said,
I love Damon Wilson. I told you about Damon Wilson when he was still at Georgia. I was like, bro, this kid, Damon Wilson.
Yeah,
love Damon Wilson.
Well, I think Ole Miss has had. Yeah, I know Ole Miss has, of course, broached that possibility. However, price point matters for everybody. You know what I mean? Like, I don't care what anybody says. It's like, you got to go by your evaluations. You know, you can disagree with the evaluations. Any news on TJ Dottery? For that, we've talked about them already. For those of you getting in, I think TJ Dottery re-ups with Ole Miss, but I know he's going to be exploring his NFL options. I don't think he's transferring anywhere, but I do think it's notable that it's this late and we still hadn't heard anything on TJ when I heard last week that it was any day now that he would be announcing. As far as on Caden Lee, do you think he's staying? We touched on that one already too. If you made me guess, I'd say they get it done. They find a way to get it done. But Caden Lee has got a lot of considerations, not the least of which multiple schools that have been after him for months. What about Jordan Seaton, the transfer offensive tackle from Colorado?
That's another one.
Kind of like Damon Wilson.
$4 million, baby.
Yeah. I mean, if Trinidad gets his waiver, that man's making over $5 million next year. Yeah. You got a running back in Kiwan Lacy who's making over $2 million.
But Ben, think about it, okay? You spend $8 million for Seton and Damon Wilson. Bro, you got some absolute monsters. You got some absolute game changers, difference makers right there, dude.
Yeah, I
imagine Damon Wilson on this year's roster, just how much that would have helped Ole Miss.
I agree. Ole Miss fans, the college football playoff is in full swing. The postseason is just around the corner in the NFL. Underdog is the best way to get in on all the action. So get off the bench and into the game. Playing on Underdog is easy. Just pick whether your favorite players will go higher or lower on stats. Kiwon Lacy set records for the Rebels this season. Will he go higher than 1.5 touchdowns in the Sugar Bowl? Get your picks right and you can win up to 5,000 times your cash. I've played Underdog all season as a beginner. Quarterbacks against the Dallas Cowboys defense have been easy winners. My holiday budget, let's just say, was nice and fat because of Underdog. And with Underdog Unwrapped, you'll unwrap tons of promos all throughout the holidays. They've got boosts, gimme picks, deal reveals, and even some surprises sprinkled in. Now is the best time to get in the game. So download the app today. Sign up with my promo code CHAMPIONS and score $100 in bonus entries when you play your first $5. That's promo code CHAMPIONS, Underdog, make picks, win money. Must be 18 years or older to play and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. 19 plus in Alabama and Nebraska, 19 plus in Colorado for some games, 21 plus in Arizona, Massachusetts, and Virginia. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/play and get terms _DFS_HTML for details. Offer not valid in Maryland, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. In New York, call the 247 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Ole Miss fans, the Rebels' magical run through the college football playoff is over, but football season is anything but. Underdog is the best place to get in on all the action. Whether you're into football, basketball, hockey, or any sport in between, Underdog wants to get you off the bench and into the game. And playing on Underdog is easy. Just pick whether your favorite players will go higher or lower on stats. Get your picks right, and you could win up to 5,000 times your cash. I was new to Underdog this year, but it's been a blast and profitable, rolling with Rebels in the NFL. Now in the playoffs, it's Dawson Knox and Elijah Moore for the Buffalo Bills, DK Metcalf for the Pittsburgh Steelers, or even Evan Ingram on the Denver Broncos. Think DK will go for a touchdown or two against the Texans? I think so too. So join me and download the app today. Sign up with my promo code CHAMPIONS to score $100 in bonus entries when you play your first $5. That's promo code CHAMPIONS. Underdog. Make picks. Win money. Must be 18 years or older to play. 19 plus in Alabama and Nebraska, 19 plus in Colorado for some games, 21 plus in Arizona, Massachusetts, and Virginia. Must be present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/play and get terms _DFS_HTML for details. Offer not valid in Maryland, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncgambling.org. In New York, call the 247 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Ole Miss fans, this episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. The new year doesn't require a new you, but how about a less burdened one? Protect your mental and find the weight-sharing help you need with BetterHelp. BetterHelp is one of the world's largest online therapy platforms and is committed to matching you with the kind, quality, and professional ear we can all use sometimes. Users agree. BetterHelp has an average rating of 4.9 out of 5 by client reviews. Mental health has been an everyday work in progress my entire life. Sometimes all it takes is someone to hear you out. I know it's helped me. BetterHelp makes it easy to get matched online with a qualified therapist. Sign up today and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com. Don't wait. Take care of yourself. BetterHelp.
I know. If I'm talking like $4 million. It's just chump change.
It's like it's nothing. You know what I mean? Like, this is insane. If it used to be taboo if you talked about money on this stuff. Like, yeah. See, the cheaters, everybody's been slanging money since like the freaking 90s, you know? And I don't see Jordan Seaton ending up at Ole Miss. Would he be the perfect final addition? Yes. God.
Yeah.
Dear Hunter, what about Devin Harper? He just got here. We're going to talk about Devin. I don't think it's done with Devin. Like, that's the thing. Would you rather hold Devin to his deal and continue to fill out the rest of the roster, or just splurge all of $4 million on Sears? Like, Sears does make sense, right? But you don't want to cut off your nose and spite your face, you know? So I think Devin Harper, that is not done. He did sign a contract. Ole Miss could very well hold him to it. What about Jeffrey Rush? That was one of the first names that came up when we were talking about transfer possibilities on this podcast 2 months ago. I said Jeffrey Rush will be one of them. He just buried on the depth chart, and there's just nowhere for him to go.
I forgot who he was. I'm not even going to lie to you, Ben. No offense to Jeffrey. Best of luck to him.
But they portaled over him. Yeah. They portaled over him. Little Maddox, he's the one I'm most paying attention to as far as, like, returning guys. Like, they love Little Maddox. They think he could have a year or two breakout a lot like William Echols did. So you're not just factoring in the Florida defensive tackle transfer. You're not just factoring in the additions that you made. Let's see who all they added on the defensive line. Jonathan Maldonado is an edge. Jaheim Otis. Like, Jeffrey Rush would have to contend with not just Little Matt. He's already buried on the depth chart. So don't, you know, take out William Echols and Jam Brown. But now Jaheim Otis, Lil Maddox, Mike Arborio. Yeah, I don't think. I mean, some of these guys got to go, right? Some of these guys for themselves and for Ole Miss and spots. So I don't think, I'm not thinking Jeffrey Rush will be an Ole Miss Rebel anymore. Like, undersized, just never really was able to contribute anything. Former four-star in-state prospect. I don't think,
Here's a guy that I used to love, that I had a lot of high hopes for. Walker Howard. Now, obviously, we've learned some things about Walker Howard. I don't know if it's true or not. I don't know if he was actually a problem in the locker room. I don't know if any of that stuff is real. But, you know, outside of that, always saw a lot of potential in him. It was a tough road for him.
As you drag this out as much as you can, as I know it, I think Walker Howard's coming back for this year. So I'm at the Fiesta Bowl, him and Caden. He actually hollered out to me. Walker did. Talk for a minute. He knows what his role would be. He's not coming in here to challenge the start. But man, they like to have a guy like that in the locker room. Like, he wasn't a problem in the locker room. The only thing you're kind of referencing is when he dated Landry. All right.
Well,
but yeah. I mean, like, Walker's a good dude and beloved in that locker room. And you have to start thinking about backup quarterbacks. Like I've said this multiple times, like NFL backup quarterbacks, it's less about like the developmental guy. And, he'll be the guy in 4 years than it is, you know, if he has to step in, can he keep the train rolling down the tracks? Now, fortunately, getting Deuce Knight, man, that is the future and could be the present depending on this appeal and waiver stuff. How confident, somebody asked, how confident are we in Tom Mars? I'll put it this way. If there's anybody that I would not bet against when it comes to this stuff specifically, it's Tom Mars. You don't enlist Tom Mars if you think you're going to lose. Now, you got your waiver denied, but now you're going to get the suit filed in state court in Mississippi this week. Not to mention the appeal is going in front of committees this week, the NCAA committees this week. So, I don't know. I know Ole Miss is confident more and more every day, and I don't think you use Trinidad Chambliss for your recruiting and retention efforts if you think he's not going to be here next year. But what an incredible safety net and also exciting prospect for the future in Deuce Knight. I mean, you replaced Austin Simmons with Deuce Knight. It's one, they're on the same kind of track right now. If anything, Deuce is showing a little bit more than Austin right now, because when his start, he was 15 for 20.
What he can do on the ground, Austin's not, like, that was a big misconception about Austin that I learned. I didn't even know that people thought this, but people were like, oh, he's a good runner. I'm like, no, he's not. It's actually not a part of his game, really. He's a passer. I don't know why you would think that, but anyways, yeah. So I love Austin. Once again, like, I don't think we got a chance to talk about Austin much after he made the decision and left. And we've all said very nice things about him and view him very highly, but also, like, Deuce's ceiling is insane as a dual threat guy.
Yeah. Like, he and Austin Simmons are the same kind of player right now, all upside. And you can make your case for any one of them. Getting him secured allows you to have, And also bringing in Walker Howard in that way. Walker Howard, and if AJ Maddox sticks around, that room by itself without the waiver would be strong enough, you feel like, to really go contend next year, even though it'll be much harder because Deuce is a first-time starter. But at least you have somebody that you really are excited about in the room. I wouldn't be surprised if they added another quarterback in the portal. But the fact that they haven't, there's only 3 days left until the portal closes. Now, there's a five-day window after the end of the year for Miami and Indiana players. And so there could still be some movement, but really, come the 16th, it's over. You've gotten your quarterback problem solved. You think that Trinidad Chambliss, like, you're operating optimistically. I don't know if he's going to be, but, like, I'm telling you how Ole Miss feels right now, right? They believe that he's going to be their quarterback. And if he's not, it'll be Deuce Knight, backed up by Walker Howard and A.J. Maddox. Reese Wise, they signed in the 2026 class. It's not as dire as it necessarily looked to start. You know what I mean? But now they're starting to fill out everything else. The defensive heavy lifting was done. Been done. Right. Like, Chris Jones, you got to figure that out. Are you going to hold him with the contract or not? You had him evaluated at $200K, and he got offered $600K, and he's trying to get out there and make that $600K. I get it. I understand it, but no one held a gun to your head, kid, and made you sign a contract. Right. Same thing with Devin Harper. So that will play into the rest of the portal approach. Doesn't change anything about Ole Miss trying to get Tyler Miller to come in here, potentially compete to start at right or left tackle next year. It's not going to stop the recruitment of Q McBroom. They said they committed the Oklahoma offensive lineman today. Delano Townsend, I think, is one of the biggest retention guys of the season, because of how everything's kind of played out, right? But I mean, I'm looking at Ole Miss's work so far and how well it's done, and honestly, I've been nothing but impressed. Nothing but impressed. They've got like the number 7 class in the country right now. I don't know how On3 evaluates things anymore. But 14 have transferred out, 14 have transferred in. Of the 14 losses, who have they really lost? When Delano Townsend went in, okay. Now, Jeffrey Rush, Ethan Fields, Jude Foster, these are guys that played a little bit, mostly special teams, and now they can get a chance to go start in their money years for the NFL and try to be something. I get it. Right now, you haven't lost anybody that of significance. Chris Graves, you recruited over him or portaled over him with Sharif Denson and Jay Crawford. And you already brought back your 2 starting corners in Antonio Kite and Jalen Braxton anyway. And you didn't recruit Edwin Joseph or Jonel Aguero or whoever it might be to sit, regardless of what you think of Jonel Aguero.
Did you see me post on the Spirit for the first time in forever?
Where have you been?
I just don't want unrealistic expectations. That's all.
I didn't say he wasn't a loss. Devin Harper is a loss, but he hasn't been lost yet because he signed a contract and Ole Miss would have to hold him. Could very well hold him to it. Right. I agree. If he is lost, he is not lost yet. That was my point.
Yeah, he would be the biggest loss so far.
Oh yeah,
right. Easily.
Oh yeah.
No, the thing on Jonel is I was out. You know, I was out with my friends and hanging out and stuff, and we're talking about Jonel, and these guys cover Georgia too, and we're chatting about it, and I'm texting my Georgia friends like that are, you know, very closely associated with the program. Like, did Jonel get better in pass coverage? Did I miss something? They're like, oh no. He's great hitter, runs to the football, whatever. Still struggles in pass coverage, and I just was like starting to see a little hype. And I was like, hey, guys, I just want to make sure so the same thing that happened early in the season when I was saying, like, this is the problem with the Ole Miss defense, and people were telling me, like, no, they're going to get better, whatever. I just wanted to get that out of the way. I just don't want unrealistic expectations or people down the road to go, well, we heard this about this guy. He was a disappointment. It's like, no, the footage is out there. The tape's out there. Go watch it, you know. I love Jonel, though, as a hitter, dude. He hits so freaking hard. He's a violent hitter.
Physicality is something they miss.
Super physical, 100%. You need somebody that can wrap up on that defense. In that regard, it's awesome. And this is going to be a big credit to Golding and our guy that he just hired from the Cardinals.
Patrick Toney. First reported at the Ole Miss Spirit, OMSpirit.com. Told you all about that in December. Scan that QR code. Join if you're a new member, 50% off. We would love to have you. You don't just have to hang out with us for an hour. Like, so many of you are asking questions that we've already addressed. It's like, dude, this is all we do at the Ole Miss Spirit. You could do that anytime.
Get on the Spirit. Get on the Spirit. No, but Patrick Toney, I heard, really, really wanted him in college and recruited him, I believe, at Florida, right? And so maybe they see something in him where they go, hey, we can change his game, whatever. But that was my only point, was like, let's not get carried away with this whole like former five-star NFL prospects. I was like, you know, that's all.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to kill the mood.
How would you kind of assess or grade maybe what Ole Miss has done through the portal with 3 days left?
I like a lot of the stuff they've done. I mean, I'm super excited about, is it Crawford, the DB out of Auburn?
Did you see Michael Bratton ranking Pete 14th best coach next season in the SEC? I think Michael Bratton.
Who?
I think Michael Bratton's no, I don't care about SEC Mike, bro. Michael Bratton.
Is that who that is? SEC Mike is a guy named Michael Bratton.
Yeah. I don't really care, but I don't know Michael Bratton. I just know his work and his work. Don't, I gotta go don't say nothing to me, so I don't really care.
Oh, I got
Josh,
look at that.
I got Josh. He's like, Walker, Howard is still in college. You're not the first person who said that to me.
Yes. Yeah, because what did he tear like an ACL? What happened to him? A meniscus or something last year?
Yeah, he started the year.
He got hurt, right? Like first game or something like that?
Yeah.
Okay, I just found this SEC Mike list. All right, let's go through it. I just want to go through it just to see.
Are you going
to
pop it up on a screen just to piss me off?
Yeah, I can actually put it up. Yeah, hold on. You just gave me this idea too. Hold on. Let me throw it on here so we can all share this moment as listeners.
Share this annoyance together.
Runs deep. Yes. Where do we go? We go to media assets. Nope. That's
Winnie
wrong
is a test. Social media personality who won't actually succeed in football unless he changes his ways. Maybe.
He could be a great streamer. You know,
man, we were doing something in like August. He was nothing but nice to and pleasure to work with. And then,
all right, there we go. So, hide comments. All right, so we got Kirby one. Okay.
Okay.
You know how I feel about that.
Yep.
Okay. Lane two.
Okay. We're already off.
Let's see. I mean, fine. Fuck. Screw it. Fine. Okay. Cool.
At the end of the day, only one of these people. Or only like Lane Kiffin is being paid more money than Kirby Smart and still has only won CUSA championships.
Yeah. But fine. You know what? For the sake of like program building and whatever, fine. I'll give it to you. Okay.
Fine.
Kiffin
fine.
Two, DeBoer three.
Okay.
Sure. Okay. For now, three. Heupel four, I'm cool with. Sark, I have questions about, and I actually want to talk about Texas, what they've done on the portal, because it feels like one of those Ryan Day.
All right, let's not go through all this. They can read. Oh. So how will we change this?
No, that's why I'm sorry. I'm just thinking out loud. I'm just trying.
Kirby's going to be number one.
Venables at six is not that. That's where it starts getting wonky to me. And I go, I mean, but who would you put above him? Look, Pete, I think is brilliant. I don't think he's 14. I mean, I would not put Pete below Eli Drinkwitz.
Or Ryan Silverfield or Alex Golish.
Hell, Mike Elko should be after Sarkisian, in my opinion. You could maybe argue before.
So, Pete's got something that Will Stein, Jeff Lebby, Ryan Silverfield, Alex Golish, John Sumwalt.
Ryan Silverfield before Pete is insanity. And I like him. Like, he was the OC O-line coach when I covered Memphis. Super nice guy. But
Pete has something none of those dudes have. Even Lane Kiffin doesn't have. He's got two playoff wins.
He's got two of them.
Got two playoff wins.
He also has natty rings from his time at Bama that Ryan Silverfield.
I mean,
I
would probably put him at nine. That's where I would put him.
Yeah, Alex Golish also. Has he proven himself yet? I mean, yeah, he was awesome at Tennessee. But, I mean, we're just going to go off of South Florida.
Like Josh is right. Like, what is Shane Beamer accomplish?
Shane Beamer, that's the crazy one to me.
That's nuts. What is Alex go? Okay, if their first time head coach is like by default, they should go to the bottom.
Yeah.
And of those new coaches, I like Summerall Stein at Kentucky the most.
I like Summerall and Stein out of that. I mean, Golding, I guess, is a first time coach too.
Ace is like, this has to be rage bait.
No,
it's
dude,
Michael Bratton. That's all he lives in.
Yeah,
he doesn't mind talking noise. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's just insane.
Yeah. This
him
is
and
insane.
Jeff Lebby together. Yes. I mean, again, Pete's got something that Ryan Silverfield, Alex Golish, John Sumrall, Clark Lay, Shane Beamer, Mike Elko, Eli Drinkwitz, Brent Venables. Yeah. What do these guys not have? Playoff wins. What is that? Is that not what like the whole point is of this whole exercise these days?
I'm also looking at this list. I'm like, boy, there's a lot of mediocrity in the SEC these days, huh?
Now, that is a different conversation altogether, my friend.
Wow.
That is different.
Did you see this rumor about how there are certain SEC schools that are trying to go to the ACC? Have you heard anything about this?
Dude, I would love for Ole Miss to go to the ACC.
No, not Ole Miss. It was like
I know, but I'm just saying like
Florida and I forgot, maybe South Carolina. I saw a tweet this morning and I was like, really? Like,
cool.
Okay. Probably be great for State. I think State would be great in the Sun Belt, dude. I think they'd be a Group of Five contender if they went to the Sun Belt. With this playoff system the way it is right now, and I know State fans are going to take that as a slight, but go to like a conference like that, an AAC or something. Dude, State's cooking. They're in the playoff.
Yeah, because I forgot about State. Isn't that terrible? Like, I just don't. Well, I'm not trying to be a dick. It's just like.
No, I'm with you. I have been. I don't wear maroon. Like, I don't wear that color. I've never worn that color in my life.
I'm wearing maroon. Mine's New Albany Bulldogs because Gracie has a soccer game today.
You get
hey, look at this. You want to see the best part of this? I got her name on the back. Gracie.
Oh, let's go.
I got it custom made. My guy Sawyer Wheatley over at Screen Co. in New Albany. He's got me. He made it for me. It's like $20. It's the best friggin' hoodie ever. But outside of that, I'm the same way. If it ain't New Albany gear. I was walking around the IPF the other day. Not the IPF, it's the Manning Center, Ben.
Yeah.
And ran into Spurlock. And I was like, hey, Mike, you know, good to see you. Probably don't remember. He's like, no, I remember you, Ben. What are you wearing? He's like, this is New Albany Bulldog. He's like, yeah, but I had to do a double take, man. You know what I mean? You can't walk up in no Manning Center maroon and white with Bulldog.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, listen, you get a pass. It's your high school. But like, I found myself feeling just bad. I think it was after Leach passed, man. I was like, that's such a bad deal for them. And then it's just like Ole Miss has been so far ahead, obviously, for the last few years in almost every facet. I mean, I'm seeing message board stuff from them where they're like, maybe we should just tank for like 3 years and just not try, just use walk-ons.
It's in not order a terrible to build. Idea.
Dude, I mean, no, it's just gotten so bad. And this is so like different from... Gone are the days of like the Dan Mullen rivalry and how toxic that was. And but
that's what I was getting to. Like, yeah. I remember it used to, like, every day I'd wake up going, oh gosh, you know, what's the latest thing? What's the latest drama in the rivalry that is the most toxic in America?
Yeah.
You know?
And now it's just like you feel bad. It's genuinely like little
brother.
I
didn't say I felt bad.
Little brother.
I felt bad. I don't feel bad.
I do, which is crazy for me to say. But like the little brother thing was always an insult. Now it's like coming from a place of love. It's like, oh man, you don't want to see a little brother like down that bad. You know, it's just like, damn. That was Winnie in response to what I said about Winnie. Yeah.
But like, put that on a shirt. You know what I mean? Gooners going goon together. You know what I mean? Like
that boy's freaky.
Like he's on that thing going, you know what I mean?
Bro, Winnie's like, you know those movies where they like the rich dudes like go and see. It's what I imagine Tiger Woods was doing in Vegas, where they just go into like this dark room and there's like a woman in like a glass case and they're just commanding. That's what Winnie's doing on those streams.
Yeah,
that's what he's doing. And I, what blows my mind is like, who are these women? Like y'all, like, is there not better stuff going on in your lives? Like you're just
my
taking direction.
Game runs deep. For Winnie Watkins, boy, it runs deep, deep.
You already know.
Dakota State of Winnie Wankins. Oh, level two Gooner, Winnie Wankins. I hope he succeeds, man.
I like Winnie, dude. He was awesome against was it the LSU game. He had a great game.
I don't dislike anyone, even Lane. I really don't.
Nothing personal, for sure.
It's not personal, business, but like, you know.
Hey, man, you're going to put your business on the internet like that. I'm going to react to it. I mean, you're putting it out there, you know.
Winnie Wankins.
Winnie Wankins is crazy. Dakota, that's
that is diabolical. Diabolical. Somebody's going to put it on a shirt, and you're going to make money like I hadn't been able to make money off none of this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That is fantastic. Oh, my gosh. But, yeah, I think we've hit on the big picture Ole Miss stuff. Caden Lee. Yeah. Let's rapid fire it. Okay.
Okay.
You asked me the questions and let me just rapid fire it. Like, all right, Ben, Caden Lee, going to stare. You know what I mean? Ask it in a way that I can just simply just say this for those that just got in here. About 3,000 people watching us live right now.
Okay. Thank y'all on a Tuesday afternoon. We're glad you're joining us.
When we didn't tell y'all at all.
Yeah. Ben just like put it up like an hour before we were going.
Brandon goes, can you imagine when he searched history?
No, I don't want to imagine.
I don't want to imagine when he searches.
Just,
I do not.
Let me just be real. Okay, rapid fire. Ole Miss is going to keep Caden Lee.
Oh, so we're going to do buy or sell.
Okay, buy or sell.
Right? So so let's set it all up. Hold on 1 second. Set it all up. All right. Buy or sell. Ask me the question like a
buy or sell. Ole Miss keeps Caden Lee or no? Caden Lee's a Rebel next year. Yes or no?
Buy.
Okay.
Ooh, but I don't feel good about it. Because I know how much Georgia and them have been coming after him hard. Bye. Yeah. All right, give me another one.
Interesting. I just don't know why you leave such a like easy receiver room to shine in.
I disagree.
Okay. Ole Miss signs Tyler Miller. Buy or sell?
Buy.
Okay. Does, I guess, stand on offensive line. Ole Miss signs Q McBroom. Buy or sell?
Sell. Because okay. I don't know. That was really hard. I think they want to add two more, and it's not going to surprise me at all if he does commit. But like he's after, Alabama's after him hard too.
Yeah.
And when you just committed the Oklahoma interior offensive lineman, yeah, I think you might end up splitting Tyler Miller or Q McBroom. And if you're making me pick one, I would sell McBroom and buy Miller. It could be very well go the other way.
Okay. Ole Miss finds a way to retain Devin Harper or forces him to stay in his contract by herself.
Oh, that's good. Bye.
Oh, okay. Okay. I like that.
And I'm just going to leave it at that. Bye.
This is going to be an easy one. Ole Miss signs Daryl Gill Jr.
Joseph Moore. I've never heard you give a short answer on anything. I agree. He's selling the Devin Harper.
Williams selling Devin Harper. Yeah.
I tend to agree, but I know that like he did sign a contract. And if Ole Miss wants to force it, they can. Meanwhile, Mary's making 6-7 jokes. But I'm gonna buy just because it's fun. Okay. If I was trying to protect my life savings, I'd say sell.
Okay. So Daryl Gill, buy, right?
Buy.
That's an easy buy. Okay. Who else did people want updates on? Does Ole Miss, same question with Harper for Chris Jones. Does Ole Miss keep Chris Jones or does he leave? Buy or sell?
Maybe they hold one and not the other. I don't know if they'll really hold two.
Okay. Okay. Ole Miss will add, sell. Okay. Mm-hmm. Ole Miss will add another elite defensive player, like a not just like a middle
David
of the
Wilson
kind of guy.
David Wilson. That's who you're asking about.
Ole Miss will add buy or sell. Ole Miss will add another elite defensive player north of $1 million.
Sell.
Okay. Okay.
All right. Buy or sell. Do you think Ole Miss will add another wide receiver
after Daryl Gill?
Love you, Josh. You're my guy forever, bro.
This is counting Gill or no?
Yes, I guess counting Gill. Do you think they'll add another one? If it's not Caden, if Caden Lee is not a part of it.
If Caden Lee's not a part of it, yeah, they have to. They have to get another receiver.
But there's not a lot of.
There's not a lot left because Lane Kiffin took all of them. You know what I love about how he's building his roster right now? Like LSU's doing good in the portal, but he's doing exactly what he did at Ole Miss. He's stacking up his side of the ball.
Hmm.
And then, despite stacking up his side of the ball, one of his flaws at Ole Miss was he never got the proper offensive lineman depth, or he just misevaluated kids. And that's exactly what's happening at LSU right now. Is like they got all these receivers, and oh, we got a running back, and oh, we're about to get Sam Levitt. And I'm like, who's gonna block for him?
Hmm.
Who is y'all's defense gonna be okay? Like what? It's hilarious. Yeah, Lane is a hoarder, especially for receivers and quarterbacks. He 100% and running backs for that matter. That's someone asked earlier, like, do we get another running back? And I was thinking, if Lane was here, yeah, they'd probably add two more.
Two more.
You get some kid from Troy and some kid from like Marshall or something that never see the field.
Yeah, if you got Rashad Amos, just throw Dominic Thomas on the pile while you're at it. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, sure. Yeah. It's just 100K because money doesn't mean anything to you.
Before we go, can we talk about how this feels like Sark's like hot seat year based on how Texas is spending money in the portal?
Oh, 100%.
I mean, Hollywood Smothers was going to Bama, and they another one where the contract, I guess, didn't matter. So they get Hollywood Smothers.
They already had
the kid from Arizona State, Relik Brown, who's like one of the top backs in the portal. Let Baxter walk. Then you get Cam Coleman to pair next to Wingo next year.
If Wingo stays at Texas,
you think there's a shot Wingo leaves? I think. Wow, are you hearing something? What are you hearing?
Nothing.
Obviously, who's the kid that ended up not? Was it Dante Moore? Not Dante Moore. What was the kid's name? The receiver, the other Texas
DeAndre
receiver,
DeAndre Moore.
DeAndre Moore.
Yeah.
He went to, did he go to Arizona or something?
Or Kentucky. That one surprised me. I thought they were kind of.
I thought Ole Miss was in it for him.
Yeah. Well, they were, but I'm surprised they didn't kind of push.
Where did he go? Colorado. Oh, the other buyer sell.
Don't you love that we're not really talking about Colorado this time around?
We are. Jordan Seaton.
I'm talking about like as a portal destination and the Deion and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah. I mean, dude.
It's kind of, yeah.
I don't know what they're going to do, man. But
right, you ride the cult of personality as long until it bucks you, I suppose.
Ben, I was not in tune with this. Can you answer this?
I don't know.
He doesn't know. That's the answer. That's the answer we're going to go with. Okay, no, but with Texas, yeah. Texas, this is insane. Obviously, you got Colin Simmons on defense. There's some talent there. It very much feels like, this is Arch's last final year. Like, if we don't take advantage of all this hype and all this stuff that we've been hyping up since his commitment and since the arrival of Sark, then it's got to be it for him, right? Like, regardless of what the record is, if they don't get in the playoff next year, it's probably it for Sark, right?
I don't disagree. I think he's going to have to be that kind of pressure, yes, because Arch got better. Improved dramatically. Someone asked about whatever happened to that A&M wide receiver. You're talking about Chris Marshall. He went to Boise State. Now he's at Arkansas. Arch will be like Arch is going to have all the preseason stuff that was for Arch this year will actually be warranted going into next year because he improved, and I think he's QB1 the favorite for that for 2027. So. Yeah, I think all the pressure will be on Sark. They are going all in. You don't surround that quarterback with Cam Coleman, the best portal wide receiver, Hollywood Smothers, the best portal running back, and not say we're going all in, right? Not making the playoffs this year, despite it being the first year starting for Arch, was not acceptable to Texas, right? So next year, especially with how close they got with Quinn Ewers, yeah. Sark's going to feel a little bit of pressure, but I still would be shocked if they moved on from him or anything, even if they fell short. I just don't think they're falling short.
No, I think that this roster is positioned to be really good. I like Texas for next year. I was going through their roster yesterday, and some of these names kind of stood out to me that I kind of had looked at when Georgia played them twice. And I'm like, oh, they still have a lot of these guys. Defensively, they add Will Muschamp, which is going to be very interesting to see him go back there too and what that turns into.
Still the weirdest decision for me this entire offseason. Not that I agree. It's just weird.
I agree. But hey, I guess they must have paid up. And this is a place where he was the coach in waiting at once upon a time. Like he was supposed to take over for Mac Brown at one time. So maybe he feels like there's some unfinished business there for him.
We've got LSU fans coming to the chat like they always do.
Let's go. Hell yeah. Let's go, man.
Cheetah Turner. Here you go. Oh, no. I'm sorry. Wrong one. Where did Lane gonna drop 40 on Ole Miss. I'm here, as in I heard it because I can't spell for it. Lane better not let up.
Who's I hope it's a great game, Cheetah. I hope it's a great game.
I hope Sam Levitt does better than 82 yards against Mississippi State.
Do we think that it sounds like I was looking at Matt Zenit's report most recently that they might be able to ward off Tennessee, but you think there's any chance that Heupel and Co. can prime away, or you think Levitt's?
I think he's already signed.
It's LSU. It's done.
Yeah, it's done.
Okay.
Don't know who's blocking for him. And again, he only threw for 82 yards against State, who's won two SEC games.
Has anyone watched Arizona State closely this year? I watched a lot of them a year ago when Scataboo was there, but someone was telling me the other day. I had a buddy text me and was like, "If you go watch Jordan Tyson like draft cutups." There's a lot of missed throws, and this is like a top receiver coming out of college this year. And I'm not trying to cut down Levitt. Like, I think he's a good quarterback, for at least from what I've seen. But I don't know if anybody's really gone in on his tape. I need to, because I want to kind of go back and see what the deal was. Buy or sell. You see this one? Yeah.
You got it. Jace Matthews becomes a breakout. That's what we'll go out on. Any more buy or sells, get him in now, because we're about to have to bounce out of here. I've got to go to a soccer game in Corinth. Buy or sell, Jace Matthews becomes a breakout true freshman receiver. I'm going to sell it because the only concern for him is get healthy. Now, if you'd ask buy or sell, Caleb Cunningham breaks out in year two. I'm buying all that. I'm buying all of that. And I wouldn't put it past a guy like Dylan Alfred, who had a really good freshman year developing. Samari Reed was kind of banged up, but he flashed a little bit. I don't think it's as dire as some are making it out to be. I just don't. Deuce Alexander is better than anything you're going to get in the portal. Retaining him, you should be celebrating that. Now, Caden Lee's a big part of it, too. And someone asked about Caden and it needs to be addressed. Do you think Caden Lee was disappointed for lack of targets this year with all the other wide receivers Kiffin handed over or hoarded over the offseason? I think that was part of it. Sure. And you know, he's been here longer than most. And it doesn't go the way you want to. There's some disappointment set in. His best friend on this team was Austin Simmons. Now he's at Missouri. I'm not saying he's going to follow Austin Simmons to Missouri. What I am saying is that the Ole Miss experience that Caden Lee signed up for is not necessarily the same anymore. And I understand that. Dane Stevens was one of his lead recruiters, and now he's the quarterback's coach at LSU. Not to say he's going to LSU. I don't think that's what I'm saying. That's not what I'm thinking is going to happen here. I think I bought that Ole Miss would ultimately retain him. I'm just saying it's not a guaranteed slam dunk thing, and it's totally understandable. But he is a big piece, a massive, massive piece. You know, Deuce Alexander is one man. Caleb Cunningham hadn't done anything yet, neither is Dylan Alfred. I think, you know, Gill's coming from Syracuse. There's just not a lot left out there. Do I think they're working on other possibilities? Sure. Absolutely. And actually, we've been dropping nuggets in here, you know, trying to be sly about it. But, like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
no, yeah. You've been trying to be sly about
no,
it.
No, I'm in the dark. All day.
I'm in the dark on this.
You know?
Also, I just had this in my notes. So sometimes I'll sit on my computer, dude, and I'll just watch stuff and I just write notes for the pod potentially.
I love that.
My analysis for SEC teams next year that are going to take the biggest jump, dude, I think Florida's going to cook next year. I think Florida's going to beat Georgia next year.
Who's their quarterback?
Their quarterback is probably going to be Aaron Fila, a super talented kid that Buster had at Georgia Tech. Wanted to start him last year over Haynes King, but obviously couldn't do that. And still made Haynes King look extremely good. Now, y'all know how I feel about Buster Faulkner. If he's got his QB of choice, pencil him in, man.
Caden Lee, Gill, Deuce Alexander, Caleb Cunningham, Caleb Odom, because they're going to try to play him a little bit more. He's a big wide receiver anyway. Luke Hodges is your starting tight end next year. And you got Brady Caprice-Corn in here. Caden's brother, who's going to provide tremendous depth. They like Hayden Bradley. I'm selling that. I think you still need more. Still need more.
Yeah.
It's a good room, but it's not. Yeah, you'd still need more.
Just get one more.
I don't know who that would be. But I'm buying all the
stuff. You don't know who that would be?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if like two you would add to that. Hmm. I don't know who that'd be.
There's no targets in mind.
You hear things, but it's the portal.
All right, man. Thanks for tuning in to Game Runs Deep. That's Spirit Ben. Follow him at Spirit Ben. Of course, you can sign up for the Ole Miss Spirit right above his head. It's the QR code. Is it still 50% off? What are we doing? What's going on?
New members, 50% off. All you got to do is sign up. We would love to have you. You don't just have to spend an hour every day with your friendly neighborhood Benjamin Garrett or your friendly neighborhood Sudu Upadeya. You know, you don't have to just do that.
No, you guys can definitely follow him, obviously, on the Spirit.
Twitter, you too, if you'd ever just come in there and talk. He said it. He's like, I finally posted for a long time. Like, he could do it anytime he wants to.
I'm there a lot. I'm there quite a bit. I also just realized, like, Yancey has a burner account that everyone knows is Yancey. Like, I had no idea that was the case. Everyone just keeps going, thanks, Yancey. I'm like, when did Yancey post? Then I'm like, oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm figuring that out. But yeah, tune in. You can subscribe to us, of course, Ole Miss Spirit on YouTube. That's where all our live streams go. You can follow me on YouTube at Sudu TV, at Sudu TV on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. Subscribe to Game Runs Deep on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your pods from. But yeah, I think that's it. Ben, you got anything else before we go?
No, man. Enjoyed it. We'll be back. I hope we do another one of these before the week is out. Like, I don't want
to. I'd like to. Let's see how the schedule plays out.
Oh, well, that's on you. You're the busy one. You know what I mean?
Come on. You like, do like now, you do two podcasts a day, I feel like, bro.
Well, I will always sit down and talk to you, sir.
Oh.
Everybody loves Sue. Everybody. And also my sister-in-law thinks you're hot. So,
let's go.
No. Nope. So I learned that last night.
What's your deal? She's not married. Okay.
So found out about that. She told me not to play matchmaker, and I was like, I won't, but I'm going to mention it now, you know, because like,
heck yeah,
you know, Sudu's that pretty one that you do stuff with, Ben. I'm like, what does that make me? Oh yeah, I get it.
Oh, she didn't say hot. She said I was pretty. Your daughter called me pretty too once. So
she did. Go guys. She's going go. Yeah, what? Sawyer made this hoodie. Bussy.
I think he means busy. I hope he means busy.
I do too.
All right, man. Thanks to all close to 3,000 of y'all for joining us on a Tuesday afternoon.
Just hanging out.
Yeah. We'll see y'all next time. Subscribe to The Spirit. Peace out.
That was.
If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.